Good morning. You guys look great this morning. Good smiles, ready to go. So yeah, we're coming to the end of the Word Over the World. And the comment that I've enjoyed the most is that people are interacting with the Bible and saying, wow, it's really amazing to study the Bible myself, to interact with the Bible. And it's God speaking to me through what the Word of God says, to be able to understand what it says. It's not the big mystery that I thought it was. I thought I would be able to be able to do that. And so we want to, how do you keep that going? How do you keep that moving along? How do you make it not just be, wow, that was a great 40 days, but it's over. How do we keep? I'm sorry, I just saw somebody I haven't seen in years. I think they moved to the North. Wow. It's great to see you. Sorry about that. Wow. God did amazing things in their lives, and so it's really awesome to see them. Good. So, as people interact with the Bible, oftentimes they interact with the Bible as though it's a book that tells me I'm in trouble. It tells me I'm doing this wrong. You need to straighten up. This is what you need to figure out. You need to be able to do this different. You need to change. You need to change. You need to change. And what I love about a great friendship, an awesome friendship, is that in that friendship, you get to be you. You just get to be you. I've got a friend, Gary, in Michigan, and there have been times when Gary and I have gotten together. We get together for dinner. We eat dinner together. our wives are there. They're talking. And we go sit in whatever room. He's got this incredible family room. And we sit in that room. And we'll go 30 minutes, not talk. Say, man, it's been a great night. And leave. Why? Because we are so comfortable together. We can just be who we are. It's an incredible experience. That's true of being on a great team. It's true of having a great job. When I was in high school, I loved football. I loved football ever since I was a little kid. And fortunately, I went to a small high school, so I got to play football. And I was an offensive lineman and a defensive lineman. And my ninth grade year, didn't play at all. I couldn't figure out the defensive line thing. I wasn't that big. But I worked hard, so the coach just kept trying to get me in. And then my sophomore year in the scrimmage, that's the games before the season actually starts, he said, let's put you at linebacker. It changed everything. I was a natural linebacker. I just got to be me. I loved playing linebacker. I could see the whole field. I just loved playing linebacker. I didn't need to change anything. That's who I was. So I want to ask you, when you interact with the Bible, when you interact with life, do you find it as, yeah, that's the book where Jesus, let me back up a second. If you become a believer, Christ has changed you. Matter of fact, the story of the Bible is this. The story of the Bible is God says, this is what's righteous, this is what's sinful. This is what's good, this is what's hurtful. This is what is abundant, this is what is lacking. And he says, without me, because of your sin, you can't become what you want to become. So I came, gave my life. I want to give you a new life. When you accept Christ as your personal Savior, he gives you a new heart. He gives you, by grace, he makes you a new person. He makes you everything you ever dreamed you'd be. You know what the Bible is for you? The Bible is you finding out who you really are. The Bible is you finding out, wait a minute, I get to be who I am? You get to be who you am. You are. But this is who you are. So as we interact with what we're going to talk about today, do you experience that? Or do you tend to come to the Bible and be able to like, no, it's telling me I need to change this. I need to change myself. I need to change myself. I need to change myself. Well, we're going to teach you how to integrate God's Word. And this simple little passage says, what I want most of all and at all times is to honor your laws. What I want most of all and at all times is to honor your laws. I want to do what God wants me to do. That's what I want to do. If you're a new believer, that's your heart. That's what you want. Is that what you experience when you come to the Bible? There's a little graph going to pop up here. This is integration. Integration is that when Christ is the exact center of everything. We tend to naturally live our lives and take a piece of this, take my marriage. If I had a great marriage, I could be happy. Jesus saved my marriage. Jesus do something. Now, we almost always say, Jesus saved my marriage, which means Jesus changed that person. Jesus changed that person. Jesus changed that person. Jesus changed my finances. Changed my finances, which almost always means, Jesus, help me win the lottery. Help me win the lottery. Help me win the lottery. Right? It's, Jesus, please come to this piece of my life and change that part of my life. But what Christ has done is he is your life. He is the center of your life. And I'm sure most of you at some point in your life have said, I'm going to make Jesus the part of my life. I'm going to make him the center of my life. I'm going to do that. I'm going to make Jesus the center of my life. I got a question for you. How would you do that? Do you like think on it real hard? Put him in the center, put him in the center. Do you feel him, right? Like love him? Have you ever tried to do that? I love Jesus with all my heart. I love him, I love him, I love him. Well, we actually love by response, right? They're there and we respond to them. You can't see him. How do you put him at the center of your life? How do you make him the center of your life? What he gave you is his word. You put God's word at the center of your life. That you can do. You can develop habits, you can make decisions, you can do practices where you put his word at the center of your life. And as we walk throughout this today, the whole message is this: you can put Christ at the center of your life. You can integrate Christ into your life. Why? How? He's the center of your life. Now, at any point at which you disobey God's word, at any point at which you go, yeah, I know that's what God says, but, right? Christ moves out of the center, and whatever area that life is, of your life is, that moves to the center. Right? This is what God called me to do with my finances. I know, but you don't understand the situation, da-da-da. Christ moves out of the center. Finances moves to the center. Christ has called me to do something with my life. This is what he's called me to do with my life. Yeah, but my family is not going to understand that, and I got to consider all these other people. Your family moves to the center of your life. Christ moves out of the center of your life. It's not integrated anymore. It's not whole. And you know how you live your life from that point? I need to change. I need to change. I need to get better. I need to get better. You want to stop living that way? Make Christ's word the center of your life. So today we're going to talk about really practical ways that you would be able to do that. And we're going to start with you build on it. And we're going to use the memory verses that you've memorized over the last few weeks in our 40 days. You build on it. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, God's word, right? Hears these words of mine, puts them into practice, is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. He built his house on the rock. What's the rock? The word of God. So whenever you build something, you build from the foundation up. If you're a builder, you automatically think, wait a minute, what's the foundation? How do we build from that place? So I don't build houses, I rebuild houses. So I go into old houses and tear them out, and I have this gift. I can walk into a house and go, bearing wall, not a bearing wall, bearing wall. I know where the bearing walls are. Why is that important? Because the bearing wall tells you which walls go from the roof to the foundation. And when you're an architect, what an architect's main job is to do is to build a house in such a way that everything comes back to that foundation. It's built from that foundation. And you may come up with this beautiful idea. You're like, oh, this house would look so cool. Yeah, we'll put this over here and we'll put this over here. It's going to look so cool. Yes, it will. But if it's not tied to the foundation, when it snows, it's going to collapse. It would be so beautiful. It'd be different than anybody else's house. Yes, it will. Yes, it will. But it's going to collapse. When we build our lives on anything else besides God's word, I want to be just super crystal clear about this. There are no exceptions. There are no exceptions. When you build your life on God's word, you're set free. When you build your life on anything else, it's going to collapse. Many of you have experienced this over and over and over again. But you look at other people and you go, I think they're getting away with it. That's only because you don't live in their house. If you did, you would realize they're not getting away with it either. So what are some false, unreliable foundations? We're just going to kick through these pretty quickly. Popular culture. Everybody's doing it. Now, a long time ago, the only popular culture you knew about was the town you lived in. And so you just were looking at all your neighbors. And then came TV, and you got to see kind of your country or your community. And now we have the internet. So you get to see the whole world, right? You get to see the whole world. And popular culture is what's trending, who's successful. There's entire industries built on TV, social media influencers, people who've made it, right? Millionaires, people who are really rich, politicians and athletes. You don't want any of their lives. You do not want any of their lives. Well, how do I know that? Because they write books 30 years later and they tell you what their life was really like. Like, oh my goodness, I don't want that life. No, you see, when Jesus is at the center of your life, when you build it on his word, when they write the book about you 30 years later, they go, oh my goodness, had no idea. I want that life. Tradition. Now, tradition's kind of been destroyed in our culture. Anything that's traditional, destroy it, destroy it, destroy it. It's still the same principle of you don't want to build your life on tradition. Like, kind of that's not an important part. How do you know if you're building your life on God's word? How would you know? This is super simple. Someone comes up to you and says, why are you doing that? And you say, because God's word says. Why are you dating that guy? Because God's word says this about the kind of guy I want to date. And he's that guy. Why do you have that job? Like, why are you pouring your life into that job? Because God's word says this. And based on those principles, I've chosen to go down this path. Now, sometimes the thing you're doing is at the roof. What do you mean? It means I am doing this because of the principle below it, which is the second floor. And I'm doing that because of the principle below it, which is the first floor. And the reason I'm doing first floor is because God said. God's word. It's always tied back to God's word. Now, what we learned over the last 40 days was you don't get to say, but I don't know what the Bible says. No. It can be studied. It can be understood. It's not super complicated. Yeah, there's some principles you got to follow, but it can be understood. It can be studied. How do I know if I'm building my life on God's word? Because when somebody asks me, why do I do that? I can tie it back to, because God said. Parents, for Lori and I, and Lori asked me many, many, many times, why are you doing it that way, Chris? And if I didn't have, because that's what God says, I either had to find it or change the way I did it. It's that simple. That's how you build your life on it. Then there's reason, which is, this is if you have a teenager or you've been a teenager, you experience this. Reason is this. I don't have to take algebra. I shouldn't have to take algebra. I don't need algebra. I will never use algebra in my whole life. I'll never need it. Now, as a parent, you cannot win that argument, by the way, right? You cannot explain to them how they need algebra. You can't remember algebra, so you can't explain it to them. You can't do it, right? You can't do it. Three parents were offended by that statement. All right, you can't do it. But the Bible says there's a way that seems right unto a man, and it ends in death. Right? Human reasoning doesn't lead to life. God's word does. And the last one is emotion, feelings. Just feelings are the most amazing things in the world for two things. Feelings are awesome, awesome, awesome for danger. You can feel there's something wrong. There's something wrong. There's something wrong. Sometimes I think my wife's is too much, but yeah, there's something wrong. There's something wrong, right? And feelings are fantastic for passion, for enjoying life, enjoying a football game, enjoying love, enjoying playing with your children. It's awesome. But feelings never tell you the truth. They never tell you the truth. You've got to go back to God's word for the truth. Build your life on the rock, God's word. Which leads us to feed on it. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let it grow up in you. It's this picture that you consume it and then it grows up and produces fruit. I put God's word in. God's word then grows and produces fruit. The Bible is called water, bread, milk, and meat. You consume it. And it's incredible in this way. The more you consume it, the more you want. The more you consume it, the better it tastes. The more you understand the Bible, the more that you wrestle with the Bible, the better it tastes and the more you want it. But here's the big, big danger zone. Big danger zone. It's not like food in this way. If you ignore it, the hunger goes away. If you ignore it, the hunger goes away. And many, many times we consume the Bible the same way we consume food. When I'm hungry, I eat it. When I feel like it, I eat it. Anybody who's over 40 understands that if you only eat food when you feel like it, you're great, just go ahead. If you consume the Bible only when you feel like it, then your feelings will be at the center of your life. You consume the Bible because the Bible is at the center of your life. You make it an intentional, on-purpose thing that you do. So here's five super, this is nothing we're talking about today is new. It's all a reminder. Here's five simple things that we learned. One, you receive it with your ears. So you listen to messages. You interact with what God has to say as other people teach it to you. We have, you have access to messages from all over the world. We have the Right Now Media, which you can use for free. You can get great teaching off of that. You can listen and listen. But listening only does so much. You kind of forget what you hear, and sometimes you apply it, so you want to up your game, and you go to reading it with your eyes. Just huge impact that it has you begin to read the Word of God yourself. That takes a time and a place. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do it consistently, and then that leads us to research it with my hands and my mouth. Study it. That's what we've been doing for these 40 days. You've been learning how to study the Bible. You've been studying the Bible together, and then you've been taking and talking about that with each other and wrestling with what it means and how it impacts you. And then you reflect on it, which means I think about how do I apply this? How does the Bible fit together? How do I use it? How do I use it at work? How do I use it in my marriage? How do I interact with it? Reflecting on it is the opposite. It's the opposite of when you've taken your life and you've got it in pieces of pie and you've got trouble and you go, oh, what's the Bible say about that? In other words, I've got the trouble, now I'm going to go find out what the Bible says and try to fix it. But that thing is in the center of our life. When you reflect on it, the word is in the center of your life, and you go, how do I apply that passage to my marriage? Not, I want my marriage to make me happy. No, God's word is what fulfills my life. God's word is what I can trust. And therefore, I'm going to apply that to my marriage. No matter how crazy it seems, that's what I'm going to do. And then remember it. with my heart, which is to memorize it. Which leads us to number three, which is live by it. The Bible says, I have hidden my word, your word in my heart, memorized it. Why? Why memorize it? That I might not sin against you. That I might live out who I really am. I'm going to find out, I'm going to memorize the Bible so I know who I am. The reason I want to consume the Bible is because I get to live out my life being who I really am, who Christ has transformed me, who Christ has made me into. We have a tool called Put Off, Put On. So you come up with some area of your life that you're like, listen, I've seen clearly this is wrong. I want to replace it with what's right. And so you don't stop sinning. You don't stop cheating. You don't stop stealing. You don't stop looking at the wrong things by going, I'm never going to do that again. I'm never going to look at that again. I'm never going to look at that again. I'm never going to look at that again. It happens every time. You put off by putting on. You got to replace it with something else. I'm going always to look at this. I'm going to look at this. I'm going to look at this. That's how you do it. You put off, you put on. The key powerful piece to that is you memorize a verse. You memorize a verse so that when you are looking and you're tempted to turn, you're like, no, I know what the Bible says. Only think about that which is true and worthy and pure. And that word of God is at the center of my life and is the power to keep you looking in that direction. It says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Don't listen to the word and deceive yourself. I like to say to people, we'll be talking about stuff. I've used this in group forever, and other people have used it in group toward me. I've used it in one-on-one situations, and they'll be like, hey, man, how you doing with such and such? I'm like, I'm struggling with that. What do you mean? Yeah, I'm struggling with telling the truth. My favorite one, I told you before, I'm struggling with being on time. I'm really struggling with being on time. You know what that means? It means I know what I should do, but I'm not going to do it. That's what it means. Anything that you are struggling with is something that is at the center of your life. And you're like, you know what? I can't figure out how to get it out of the center of my life. Even though the Bible told me exactly what to do. People told me for years, if you leave earlier, you can show up on time. I was struggling with that. Like, how could you struggle with that? I didn't want to leave on time. I didn't want to leave early. I didn't want to. Almost every problem you have, every issue you have in your life, the Bible has some pretty specific steps to take. I have never, ever seen anyone do what the Bible says as a man to love your wife and go, didn't work out. I've never seen it happen. I've seen a lot of people go, I'm struggling. Which means, I can't love her. She doesn't do what I want. I can't love him. He doesn't do what I want. Do not merely listen to the word. Put it into action. Do what it says. Which leads us to grow throughout it. Grow through it. Grow through what the Bible has to say. The Bible says, open my heart that I may see wonderful things in your law. Open my eyes that I might see wonderful things in your law. In other words, let me see what God has for me, or let me see what God actually says. The Bible is actually, the Bible itself is full of wonderful things. It's full of beauty. It's full of wisdom. It's genius. If you ever look at how they did human government in the Old Testament, the Israeli human human law, it's genius. It's really amazing how just it is. It's an incredible thing to study. The stories, they make wonderful sense when you see the whole thing or different pieces of it. There's amazing logic throughout the scriptures. Did you know that the gospel, the good news, is the only belief that even comes close to be able to identify and solve sin There is, the other ones don't make any sense. And sometimes people treat the Bible as if, though, oh, it's all faith and it's silly. You didn't read it. You didn't read it. It's amazing. But oftentimes we come to the Bible with these four problems. There's a parable in the New Testament where Jesus gives the four soils. And he says, the kingdom of God is like this. He takes a seed, the farmer spreads it out, and some of it hits this hard soil, and some of it hits the shallow soil, and some of it hits soil, but it's got weeds, and others is good soil. So let's just take a quick look at this and relate it to what we're talking about. The hardened soil is a closed mind. And this is super simple. I don't want to hear what God has to say. I don't want to hear it. And I'm not going to do it. What do you mean? I don't want to hear what God has to say about my boyfriend. I don't want to hear what God has to say about my money. I don't want to hear what God has to say about being on time. I just don't want to hear it. And so you come to the Bible, you've already decided. I am open to God talking to me about these things right here, but not these. That's a closed mind. You're not going to hear God about any of it. It's a closed mind. The shallow soil, and the action we want to cultivate is an open mind. Be able to go, wait, time out. I've got to stop acting like I'm God and be the person who listens to God. The shallow soil, a superficial mind. The superficial mind is you treat the Bible like it's a fairy tale. It's nice. It's sweet. I like it. It makes me feel good. And so, now don't get me wrong. I love it when you tell me great message. Just keep telling me, even if it's a bad message, tell me great message. Right? Just let. You know, I love it. But you know what I've watched lots of times? When people come by and they go, oh, that was a nice message. You know what that means? They don't plan on doing any of it. They don't plan on doing any of it. They're like, I feel good. Which means you're not interacting with the Bible at all. You're just interacting with my little stories, right? So we want to make time for God's word. We want to go, no, I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to interact with it. Number three, the soil with the weeds, a preoccupied mind. Your life is full. Your schedule is full. Your priorities are set. God teaches you the truth, and you're like, that's great. I just don't have time. God teaches you the truth. You're like, that's great, but that would mean letting go of these friends and grabbing hold of this and moving this around. It's all set. I've already got my priorities. I've already got my vows. I've already said this is what I'm going to do. And so it doesn't fit in. A lot of people have interacted with the COVID, and I'm hearing this a lot. And for those of you, those is true for many of you who are even here today, and those of you who are watching, you got used to not coming to church on Sundays. Well, you didn't just sit there all Sunday morning going, what are we going to do today? We used to go to church, but we're not going to church, so no, you filled your life, right? You filled it with things. And so now giving Jesus those 2 hours a week where you come together to be with his family, it's, you're like, ah. And people are telling me, like, ah, I can do it like once a month, twice a month, but every week, when you used to do it every week, right? But what happened? You got preoccupied with other things. And you can do that all with all different pieces. When you're preoccupied, the word of God is not the center of your life. Something else is. And you're fitting God's word into it. And number four, the good soil, a willing mind. It's just this simple. God, whatever you tell me, that's what I'm going to do. God, whatever you say, that's what I'm going to do. Can we be honest about something? This is rare. This is rare. To this day, I'm scared to death to go, God, in all areas of my life, in every area of my life, everything, whatever you tell me, that's what I'm going to do. That's scary. I mean, really scary. But every time you do that, you get to find out who you really are. You don't have to, when you do that, You don't have to live your life going, oh, I got to get rid of, oh, I got to change this, I got to change that. Oh, I'm just not living up to it. I got to change, I got to change. No, no. You get to live your life. It's almost like you step on a jet because God's going somewhere and he takes you. It's an incredible experience. When you read God's word going, this is all there is. Whatever you tell me, God, that's what I'm going to do. It just flies wide open what you see and what you learn from there. Which leads us to number five, trust in it. Trust in it. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. When you trust God's word, you can see clearly what the next step is. Not the next three steps. Nope. God almost never shows you the next five steps. He always shows you the next step. Look, well, I need to know five steps because I'm not taking this step if you're not going to show me the next one. That's a closed mind, right? To trust God's word is to say, I know this is what God wants me to do. I know what the Bible says. It's clear as can be. Christ is the center of my life. I'm going to take that step. It's a light. It's a lamp, right? It's a flashlight. And when you use a flashlight, you get to see the next step. You ever been with somebody with a flashlight? A kid? Like, hold the flashlight, right? You take a step. You can't see the next step. It's all dark, right? That's what it is. He shows you that next step. A person who has Christ, God's word, in the center of his life always knows the next step. They don't live their lives going, I don't know. I just don't know what to do with my life. I don't know. I don't know about my kids. I don't know about parenting. I don't know. They always know the next step. Trust it. It's amazing how simple life becomes when God's word is at the center. It's true. When God's word is at the center, you cannot solve the world's problems. But you're not responsible to solve the world's problems. When God's word is at the center, you can't solve your sister's problems. But you're not responsible for your sister's problems. When God's word is at the center, you can't solve the government's problems, but you're not responsible to solve the government's problems. When God's word is at the center, you know the next step. You know exactly what it is. And a number of you, even right now, are going, oh no, he told me the next step. Will I trust him? Will I take that step? Here's some practical things to do as you move from these 40 days to the next 40 days. One is take out your little 40 days in the Word covenant. If you came in and the person next to you has it, just rip it out of their hands as fast as you can. Now, if they came in with you and you know them, then you might have to share this, right? Or you can pick another one up on the way out. There, it looks like they're handing some out there as we go. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Jesus has made you a new person. The Word of God is everything you need to be trained in who you really are. So for the next 40 days, I commit to living a life transformed by God's word by reading God's word daily. Do you have a time and a place? You're going to spend that time. You're going to spend that time reading. And now that you've learned some more about studying, hopefully you're going to study God's word by putting God's word into action. Now, only one thing in the next 40 days, just one thing, right? Not 10 things, one thing that God has called you to, something he's called you to put off and put on, something he's called you, somebody he's called you to love, there's one thing that God's word has said to do, I'm going to do it. And then by memorizing God's word. I suggest not more than one a week. Some of you overachievers, you go at it. One a day, go, get them. But for the rest of you, one a week. Just keep memorizing God's word. So I encourage you to sign that 40 days. And some of you, it's great for you to sign it right now. For others of you, you actually need to go home and go, God, I mean this. Between you and me, your word. Don't say Jesus in the center. Because you really can't put Jesus in the center. Practically, you can, right? Spiritually, but you can put his word in the center. And it's impossible to put Jesus in the center without putting God's word in the center. You can't do it. If you put God's word in the center, you're going to put Jesus in the center. So you need to pray that through and then be able to sign that. Number three is have a party, which I hope all of you guys are doing that in the group. And even you individually, you may need to take an hour and just go, this was awesome. What God has done and what I've learned, I want to thank you for this. I want to thank you for the truth of this. We, as a church, had a party Friday. We fasted through Friday, and then we broke the fast together, which actually we've never done before. It was really awesome. It was really cool. And then we had worship night, and we had a DJ at worship night. People who loved it. I gotta be honest with you. I'm kind of proud of it. I never heard of a church having a DJ. I think it was. He did a great job. It was really cool. And then build your schedule so that you can be in your group, in your next group. Now, our group leaders, we're going to take January, and we're going to spend some time pouring into our group leaders and rebuilding them. They're actually going to do groups together, and they're going to learn how to minister better, how to be group leaders better. And our group's going to start up again in February. So this is a big step. It's a big step that you right now go, okay, I am going to begin to build my schedule so that in February, I know I have one night a week where I'm going to be able to be a part of a group. And I'm going to put Jesus' word in the center of my life, and therefore, I'm not going to let something else come in there and take that away. That is going to be number one for me. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Do you trust the light or the darkness? I've done this many times. I get up in the dark, and I should go get my phone. But it's three steps away. Not worth it. So I make my way to the bathroom, stubbing my toe, hitting this, stepping on that, right? I trusted the dark. I trusted the dark. How many times in your life have you trusted the dark? Jesus, his word is the light. Let's trust the light. Lord Jesus, thank you for being the light. Thank you that everything we talked about today is true. We're not religious. We're not making this stuff up. You have been changing people's lives for thousands of years. And anybody who's taken your word put it in the center and built their life on it, trusted you for it, has seen amazing fruit. So first, Lord, I'd ask that you would convict us. Convict us that you have a path for us to follow, and it's found in your word. Secondly, Lord, encourage us. Build us so that we are intentional. We're consistent. We don't do it based on our feelings. We do it based on it's true. Then lastly, Lord, I pray that you make us one. You bring us together so that we as a church always use your word to encourage each other, to challenge each other, to admonish each other. That we do not live by our opinions. We do not live by our feelings. We do not live by our own reasoning. But we live by your word. May the word of God, you, always be at the very center of our church. In your name we pray. Amen.